With almost two dozen Democratic candidates running for president, one area of policy that has provided some daylight between them is health care. To that point, Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders has reintroduced his Medicare for All bill. A handful of candidates has signed on in support, while some others say it's the wrong policy prescription at the wrong time. Last week on Radio Boston, we spoke with John Kingsdale. He's a Boston University professor and a key figure in bringing universal coverage to Massachusetts. He told us that he thinks the Democrats who support this idea could be on the verge of making a huge political blunder.
It could turn what has been the number one policy advantage for Democrats, what really helped Democrats take back the House in 2018, into a huge political liability in 2020. And frankly, Republicans are salivating at the prospect of running in 2020 against Medicare for All.
And we promised last week that we would follow up on that conversation with a physician who supports a single-payer plan. And so, sticking with our promise, let's turn to Dr. Adam Gaffney. He's an instructor in medicine at Harvard Medical School and president of Physicians for a National Health Program. Welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you for having me.
So, as it's entered in the political conversation, Medicare for All, single-payer health care, they've kind of become these nebulous ideas, political jargon. So let me just ask you specifically, what do you mean by Medicare for All?
By Medicare for All, we mean a single public plan that would cover everybody in the United States from birth to death, comprehensive benefits, no onerous copays or deductibles, and you can see the doctor or the hospital you want, not the one your insurance company tells you to see.
Okay, and is that the same as the bill introduced by Senator Bernie Sanders?
There's a bill in the House introduced by lead sponsor Pramila Jayapal, and there's also the bill in the Senate introduced by Bernie Sanders.
So in thinking about this idea, you've been a proponent of single payer for years. Of course, we heard John Kingsdale at the top there argue that in his view this isn't politically smart. Sounds lofty. Sounds amazing. Sure. No copays. Choose any doctor you want, any hospital you want. But tell me why you think this is the right approach right now.
Well, let's put it this way. We spend $3.5 trillion on health care a year in this country. Despite that, we've left 29 million people uninsured. Being uninsured is an issue of life or death. I, for one, have seen patients in the ICU with conditions that could have been prevented through medical care. Meanwhile, there's 44 million people underinsured right now. That means that Americans are going without needed care, not because they're uninsured, but because they're insured, but it's not good coverage. It has too high copays, too high deductibles, or the networks are so narrow, you can't actually go to the doctor that you need to go to.
But what about this idea that you're handing the Republicans a political victory here by pushing this hard this soon?
It is nonsense. The reality is that polling has consistently shown that majorities of the nation support Medicare for All. It has been shown again and again and again. And physicians also have supported this. Majority of physicians have supported Medicare for All. It's a very popular program and for a good reason. This is an issue that basically everyone in this country is dealing with.
So if you think about the American healthcare system as a massive ship, I mean, you're talking about turning it completely around very quickly. And you know, one of the major concerns that we heard from John Kingsdale is that there would be a huge disruption in one of the biggest sectors of our economy. So I want to play another clip of tape because he's worried about that drastic change.
Not only is it putting $2 trillion or more a year in from the private sector into federal taxes, which will create all sorts of winners and losers – very disruptive. It means taking some 16 million jobs and pretty much cutting the funding available for them. Because if you're going to fund through taxes a much more generous benefit package, as Senator Sanders has proposed, you're going to have to cut the payment rates for those services.
Now, Kingsdale is one of the architects of the Massachusetts healthcare reform, RomneyCare, that became the model for the Affordable Care Act. So how do you respond to his concerns there?
First of all, the idea that it's going to be so disruptive is exactly what people said in the 1960s before the implementation of Medicare. The idea was that seniors were going to fill up the emergency rooms and there wasn't going to be enough money to take care of all these patients. It was false. It worked out fine. And as a result of that political bravery, we now have a program that provides universal care, not perfectly, to our nation's seniors. It's time we did that for the whole country while also improving the coverage for seniors. In terms of the idea that we have to cut payments to hospitals and doctors in order to make Medicare for All happen? Not true. The big savings come from the enormous amount of waste in our private health insurance industry. Quick fact, 12% of every healthcare dollar that private insurance companies get goes to their profits and overhead and administration. The figure in traditional Medicare is 2%. That is an enormous difference, and it translates to hundreds of billions of dollars of savings.
But what about those 16 million jobs that Professor Kingsdale is talking about? Or you know, I remember during the Obamacare debates, if you like your doctor, you can keep it. You can keep your doctor, you can keep your health plan. That, of course, turned out not to be true. So how do you explain away that disruption that will have – there will be winners and losers. There always are. So how do you explain that away to the losers?
First off, people care about access to doctors, hospitals, medications. They don't care if they're covered by Cigna, United Healthcare, or Aetna. They don't care. They don't have brand loyalty to their private health insurance companies. They want access to doctors, hospitals, medicines. And so Medicare for All would not take away a single person's health care in this country. It would simply mean that it's being paid for by the government instead of by private insurance companies.
But it would change.
It would change for the better. It would upgrade coverage for the vast majority of the nation. I mean, look, it's not as though we're talking about a system that hasn't been done elsewhere. You look north of the border, Canada. You can see a doctor get hospitalized. You'll never pay a single dollar out of pocket. And there's 0% of the country uninsured. Again, we have 29 million people uninsured. Go to Scotland. You don't pay copays for medical prescriptions, for prescription drugs. Meanwhile, seniors are going broke in this country buying – I've seen seniors say that they're not actually able to afford their inhalers for emphysema because the copays are too high. I mean, what kind of nation is this that we allow this to happen? We have to do something. And the idea that doing nothing is more politically expedient belies the experience of millions of Americans who are going without needed care every year, 25% of Americans actually.
Well, I don't think folks are arguing about doing nothing. I think the argument is – incremental steps or improving what we have, improving on the Affordable Care Act. Would you support incremental steps to maybe get to Medicare for All but not immediately go there?
I think you have to look at what is the best policy solution for the problems at hand. If the problems at hand are uninsurance, insurance waste, prescription drug being unaffordable, then Medicare for All is the best solution. Look, we've already taken a big incremental step. That was the Affordable Care Act. It did a lot of good. It reduced the number of uninsured by 20 million, but it left the big problems unsolved. The next step is a public system for everyone.
So another major concern of the folks who oppose single payer is that since Medicare pays lower rates for the same services, some hospitals, maybe rural hospitals that are already struggling to stay open, will be forced to close, resulting in the loss of access to care. What's your response to that concern?
Well, that's a great example of how the current system is failing. Rural hospitals are going bankrupt across the country. Women can't get access to obstetric services in large swaths of the nation. So the current system's obviously failing. Medicare for All, and the way we envision it especially, would give lump sum budgets every year to hospitals to cover all their operating expenditures. So we're not talking about, you know, slashing hospitals' operating budgets. The reality is you need doctors, you need hospitals, you need prescription drugs, you don't need insurance companies.
So you're saying you wouldn't be slashing hospital budgets, but at least according to the New York Times, the payments that hospitals get at Medicare rates now, you know, and if you spread this out over all hospitals, would be at least 30% lower than private insurance. That's a huge loss in revenue for hospitals.
Two things. First off, hospitals would achieve enormous savings under Medicare for All. Currently, hospitals spend 25% of their operating budgets on administration and billing, armies of coders to deal with multiple insurers. Under Medicare for All, we can expect that would fall to half. Second, no one has said that hospitals have to get paid a certain amount. That has not been decided. And the reality is we need to – whatever bill passes, it will provide sufficient money to hospitals so that they can maintain the current quality and quantity of care provided, if not increase it.
So under the current system, a lot of folks, most people, get their health insurance through their employer. And if that cost moves to the private, you know, from the private sector to tax revenue, how do you make sure that workers aren't going to get stuck with the bill, you know, getting paid the same salary, but now paying more in taxes to support this new healthcare system?
Very simple. You replace much of what employers are currently spending on healthcare with an employer-side payroll tax. Employers might spend less than they're currently paying, but they'd still do their part to pay for the system. That's a very easy problem with an easy solution.
You say an easy problem with an easy solution, but I'm thinking of Congress and the presidency. And how does something like this get passed?
How has any major social change been accomplished in history? A movement of people working together with a common goal in sight. Look, I'm not naive. I realize this is a big push, and this is going to encounter enormous obstacles, particularly from corporate interests that really benefit from the status quo. But we can do it. We've seen great change happen before. We've seen the civil rights movement. We've seen gay marriage. We've seen all sorts of other changes. But yeah, there's a long way ahead.
So the Affordable Care Act gave millions of people access to insurance coverage, and yet was used very effectively, as we talked about, by Republicans against Democrats. And John Kingsdale, who we spoke to last week, told us he thinks we could see even more backlash from a switch to Medicare for All.
You're talking about huge levels of disruption, tens of millions of people who will end up paying more in taxes than they currently pay or think they pay in premiums. So it's not just some people on the margin being disadvantaged. It is literally tens of millions of voters thinking, boy, I just got screwed in this deal.
So last question for you, Dr. Adam Gaffney. Why do this now all at once?
Because Americans can't wait. A quarter of Americans are not getting the care they need every year because of costs. People are dying. This is a moral cause, and we have to win it.
That's Dr. Adam Gaffney. He's an instructor in medicine at Harvard Medical School and the president of Physicians for a National Health Program. Dr. Gaffney, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Stay with us. There's more ahead. I'm Jamie Bologna, and this is Radio Boston.